Ja, vielen Dank für die Begrüßung.
Thank you so much.
Ich möchte euch ein Projekt vorstellen.
I'd like to show you a project which I'm working on for more than 2 years now with 2 friends of mine. I'm here, but the other 2 of them did at least as much as I did. Privately and also on the job, I do stuff with IT security. Sometimes I also have to do with things like that. And in fact, this is a case from my job, which made me start this project and the technology that we want to look about today. So we start with some theoretical foundations. What's this all about and what can we do? Then we'll have some practical insight of what works and what not. And finally, I want to tell some stories because it's only 1 hour till midnight and we got to find into the mood. And at the end, I'll have a brief summary and also a bit of a call to action and probably also some time for questions. So what did we do? You all know the cloud and AWS is a big part of it. And in particular, we looked at something called S3. And the cloud usually has a pay-as-you-go model. You have something you consume, in this case an internet service, and you pay as long as you consume something. As soon as you stop consuming that, then you can stop paying. That's a nice thing. We look at AWS. Most of you probably know that. Just so we all know the same, it's part of Amazon. If I say Amazon, I mean the same as AWS. Of course, Amazon does also other things. It's a little bit smaller. That's sending parcels. So we'll look at the part of Amazon that does internet things. And for many people, this runs pretty automatically using UIs. But most customers, they have never really talked to Amazon at all when they started to subscribe to these services. Nobody ever told them how nice this is, and they just read the documentations and started doing it. And if you just start doing it and do stuff, then can work out well or can work out not so well. Importantly, whenever we come to cloud stuff, is one concept called shared responsibility. This means the cloud provider is responsible to provide the cloud service and everything that's behind that, like the computing services, cooling of the servers, all these things. And the user is responsible for configuring the applications. And that's okay, because the cloud provider doesn't really want to do anything with the customer. In fact, they don't want to waste person hours on the customers. Customers are supposed to click their stuff on their own using UI. They shouldn't talk to people from Amazon, because that would cost them money. Amazon is a global company, of course. It's globally distributed, so IT is close to every customer. We have different zones, geographical locations. This is something to keep in mind, as it will become important later. So what did we look at? We looked at something called S3. It stands for Simple Storage Service. The S doesn't mean secure or anything. And it's a very simple idea. You want to have lots of data, put them someplace for not so much money, and at some point be able to access them again. And you put your data into something called buckets. That's where you throw all your data in, usually many files. And here's an example. This is the NASA Open Science Data Repository. This is where NASA puts lots of data for everybody. So, for instance, nice pictures by telescopes, you can access them there. I didn't really look at this bucket, but it's publicly available for everybody. And if you access it in the browser, you get something like that. On top, there's the name. There's some kind of key that refers to the first file. And of course, the first file also has some kind of size. That's the important stuff that we care about. And we take this key and just append it to this URL, then we can access this very file and can download it via your browser, which is super cool and very useful because the bucket is publicly available. And that's exactly what we care about here. open buckets. Buckets are, of course, for storing data, but not every bucket should be able to be accessible for everybody. NASA has changed two configs here. First, everybody can take a look at the index, the list of all the files. And secondly, you can look at every files without any authentication that are present. And those two things make a bucket open. And those kinds of open buckets without any authentications, that's what we care about here. So we didn't need to guess any passwords. We didn't have to do any evil things to access secrets. All the stuff I will show to you today is publicly available in the internet. You just need to know the name of the bucket, and then you can look at the list. It's an XML file. Sometimes it's longer, and you can look at which files in there. You can download them too. And that's only the only thing that we care about today. There's a very important property that somewhat makes Amazon unique. That's also the reason why we care mostly about Amazon here. It has this one particular property in its DNS. If a bucket name does exist, like NASA OSDR, then this bucket name, if you send a DNS request for this, then you get back a location of this bucket. In this case, it's US West number 2. It's a zone of Amazon, and this zone is actually not a standard zone, but if I just make up some bucket name which doesn't exist, like no bucket, for instance, then we get the zone US East 1, which is the standard zone. And if a bucket does not exist, you'll always get something in US East 1. So what does this mean? You can use that for reconnaissance. You can guess names. You can understand which buckets even exist without doing anything with Amazon. So you just use DNS. Because you can just guess many, many different names, maybe using dictionaries, maybe access stuff like dash prod, dash dev, things like that, typical things, and just do a DNS request and check whether the bucket exists. If the answer is US East 1, then it's likely the bucket does not exist. It might exist, but if so, we don't quite care. But whenever you get anything that's not in the standard zone, then you know it does exist. And we are very sure it needs to exist necessarily. That makes it super easy to just guess many, many different names without Amazon being able to rate limit you. You can just take this and run with it. You get a list of buckets out of that process, and you know all of them exist. Once you have these names, then you can actually use different methods, but these methods are just presented to you. That's the usual one you take. And if you get such query log, then you can just take a look at the query log and see what names crop up. So, for instance, if you're an IT administrator and you admin your DNS server, just take a look at the log. Or if you look at your traffic from your home, or maybe at the traffic of some public office or anything, then you can just inspect the log and see what's in there. It's really simple technically, especially this passive technique is very, very simple. Just inspect the logs, and that's of course what it makes really dangerous. So, in my opinion, it's a very, very strong, bad design that Amazon did here. So let's take a look at what's called the attack surface to classify this problem. There's two things to that: the frequency of the problem and if it happens, how bad is it? So the complexity of this thing is really low. It's super simple, you just guess names. And it's also something that happens extremely frequently. So open buckets really are a thing. The other end of the scale, a really, really complex and bad exploit, luckily is very, very rare, and you usually get lots of public attention to that For instance, if your exchange server has some bug, then people usually can provide fixes very fast. But new buckets, well, that's not really a complex new issue. And this is something we used in this project here. One of the first things we found this year is this bucket here. Those companies are all affected by this one single bucket. And this bucket, in fact, stored multi-factor SMSs in real time. So this is quite unpleasant. So I was sitting in my home in the evening, just clicking around some buckets, and then I see this, and I was like, well, that's kind of SMS texts. Why is that? And why is there MFA codes in it? Wow. And yes, it was a bucket with 200 million multi-factor authentications. 200 different services. Here's the most well-known ones that have also been publicized, but there were also many others. So health data was also available, for instance, from Italy. So communication between doctors and patients from Italy, and there were individual links in these mails that directly linked to the patient data files, was also part of this issue. So that's pretty horrible thing. All of these services have this have this use case of having to send SMS. And if you are such a service, you just find somebody to take care of your authentication SMSs. You pay somebody else to do that for you. And all of these providers were all customers of Identify Mobile UK. And I guess for reasons of billing purposes, this company just saved all SMSs that they ever sent. So this contains the data on the SMS that were sent to, for instance, mobile providers. They have deals with, for instance, Telekom that forwards these SMS. And if the bucket is updated once every 30 minutes with all the new SMS, then you can guess how you have to time this to successfully log into maybe, for instance, Airbnb accounts. And based on this data, for instance, I know which people have an Airbnb account because I can read all the names. So that was the first huge bucket that we found this year. And then we started to think, what exactly should we do about this? That's where a process called responsible disclosure comes into play. So it starts with you find a problem, you realize, oh shit, you start to disclose this to all people that are involved in that or responsible for that. For instance, in this case, it was Identity Mobile, but their contact data were not present in this bucket anywhere, so I had to find this out. So try to contact people responsible for that. I could, of course, also start a shitstorm in social media, but please don't do that, because that's really not the way to do it in a responsible way. Usually, if everything works nicely, then responsible people will tell you, yes, we got your message, we understand the problem, and in an ideal world, then also start to fix it. And afterwards, you can talk about that publicly in a factual way. So how can you talk to? So there's three different players or entities. AWS, of course, or Amazon. You can contact them. They'll always gladly send you standard mail back and say, yes, thank you so much. It's lovely that you care about our customers. We are so proud of you, but shared responsibility is really not our problem. You can, of course, directly contact the owner. You can need to grab your Sherlock Holmes head. You need to first find out who's actually the owner of this bucket. Sometimes it's easy, often it's not that easy. You can tell the owner, hey, there's a problem. If you're able to find out the owner, this works usually pretty nicely. And finally, you can also talk to public offices. So like the Ministerium for Computer Information Security, there's also European offices you can contact too, and some others. Many buckets, however, Amazon is the only contact person, and usually goes like this. You look at a bucket, you realize, oh, whoa, that looks bad. then you try to tell it to somebody, but you have to tell it to AWS because you don't know the owner. And if you look at the numbers here, you see all the times I told only AWS about this year, AWS only followed up on the 53 cases altogether. They only were able to follow up and close successfully two of those by telling this to the owner. The other 50 ones are still open today. So the process at Amazon probably looks like they take the mail and just forward it to the owner, and whether they even got the still correct address of the owner, who knows? If I can find out the owner myself and just write to them exclusively, then 10 cases out of 43 in this year, it worked nicely. Overall, we had 128 buckets this year we looked at. Can do some math with these numbers, try to do some stats on it and become a math nerd. And you can say, statistically, there is a significant difference between only contacting AWS or also in addition telling the owner. You can also say that from a statistical point of view, there is no difference between telling the owner versus the owner and AWS. That's pretty important, how much, that's a pretty strong indicator of how much AWS really cares. Because how can I do better responsible disclosure by telling the owner as opposed to just tell AWS? For me, that's a big question. Can also see some more based on these numbers. So, these numbers you need to stratify based on EU versus non-EU. Within the EU, it usually works more easily. I didn't add the numbers here to not make the graphic too complicated. For me, this means, the way I see these data, the DSGVO seems to work, companies seem to respect it, the offices don't really care that much about it, but the companies themselves respect these laws. So here's some stories. It's a very nice story I had with McDonald's this year. I'm not so much of a customer, so I don't know them. They had a bucket with personal data from German children from like some competition. So there were personal data like name and birth date, stuff you don't want to see in public, especially data by kids. And they managed to take this down within 3 days. I told them on Saturday. On Monday, they seemed to have started working, and it instantly went down. So they did a really good job here. The bug bounty they wanted to give me, about 250 euros. I told them, thank you so much, but please give it to netzpolitik.org, which they did. So
right, thumbs up for McDonald's. I like it. Audi. So yesterday we already had a talk about Volkswagen. Audi also had some issues. They had some apprentices in Australia that were trying to learn how to change oil and stuff like that. And they have ID documents that they saved for them, and I found them, and I told that to Volkswagen or Audi, and but they never reacted. So, yeah, didn't really work. So, yeah, you can already tell. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I can only tell you so much without endangering someone. So I found a dental clinic in South Korea, and I have very limited means of getting into communication with them just for language reasons and so on, and I only have so much time. So I basically told the CERT and AWS and told them, this is medical data and this is probably like identifiable, and I never got a reaction from AWS or CERT. So if you have any contact, please let me know. I found a bucket in Australia. right at the beginning of this project, we found that one, and it had a few more than 10,000 CVs, basically by young people, what the cool things they were doing, what their name is, all the contact data, and I notified AWS, and I told them, look, this is a lot of CVs, and I have no idea whose this is. I can't just tell this to them, and I never heard from them. So, but I said, this is not right. I can't accept this. So I told the data governance officials in Australia, and after 3 weeks, I got a response, and they told me, yeah, they're not responsible. They cannot tell who is operating that bucket. So that's why they don't think they are responsible, and they sent me a mail from a no reply at email. So yeah, I approached AWS once more and told them, I don't understand your process. I was expecting this bucket to close at some point and was asking how to do something and was referencing my 2022. I was suspecting that they put my claim into a bucket. So yeah, basically, you write a mail and they forget it. So, but that's not the only thing you can do. You can also make the bucket writable, not just readable from the outside. So that's more interesting even. So people sometimes put malware in there in the hopes that it's gonna be executed, but usually it doesn't get executed. It's just readable, but whatever, gets copied around. And I've told AWS again, look at this bucket with a whole list of the files that are interesting and that are, this one's writable and it's open and it has malware and so on. And AWS was answering and told me, yeah, we looked at it, we have special expert in there, in our team that looked at it, and they removed one file. And then I told them, look, that's not all, there were more, I know, I gave you the list. And then they told me, yeah, just open a new ticket. And I also told the owner of that bucket, and yeah, it's actually even a German person, at least they're sitting in Germany, and yeah, but they didn't care. So sometimes I need to shame, and this is one of those cases. So the bucket name is not obvious from what I'm telling you here, but this is Tradio. This is like a broker for crypto stocks, social trading, whatever. You can follow people and then get the same trading strategies as them. And if you do this kind of trading, you obviously have these know your customer rules, and you need ID documents, and they're being saved in this bucket, and it's distributed across the globe, and the credit data usually is already old, so there are credit cards in there as well. And I told AWS in September, and also to the Bavarian data protection officer, but they also didn't care. And at some point, I want to thank Kai and Eva from a German newspaper, The Zeit, because they helped follow up and to find the people who are affected by this leak. They were basically trying to interview them when they told them, look, we found your ID in this bucket. And they actually got into contact from someone. And you need to know that this person actually wasn't a customer of Tradio, but rather by eToro. And while Tradio was actually sanctioned at some point, but eToro wasn't. So somehow this got mixed up and they're still out in the wild. That's crazy. So I also wanted to tell you something about medical data. So we had something out of Colombia. We found a few letters we only had a few letters, but usually we could find the meaning of what that was, because usually it was diagnostics, it was medication, it was medical letters. And we thought, yeah, well, let's do responsible disclosure to the responsible people in Spanish. I have a colleague who could write a mail in Spanish, but yeah, it didn't work. So we again did we told AWS, look, we have issues with that bucket again, and AWS shared responsibility, we can't do anything. But yeah, data protection for our customers is important, but blah, blah, blah. So a colleague of mine, Martin Seger, was posting on Mastodon and found a contact to journalists and activists who tried to get things going and rolling in Colombia. And we somehow got in contact with a responsible person for digitization in the government in Colombia. And they actually contacted the Colombian CERT, and they actually managed to get the hospital to close that bucket after 10 days. So yeah, different countries, you gotta know people. But what I really think is a problem here is this long chain of trying to resolve a trivial misconfiguration is this. And this is really depressing, and it needs to get better. And I'm still looking for contact to several entities. If you are part of one of these or know someone there, get in contact with me, please. I obviously would actually like a shibboleth for AWS. I'm really not getting anywhere with the default answers in the tickets, and I would need a more direct contact in order to get things resolved. But yeah, Notarify, I don't know how to pronounce that. That's a service where in the blockchain you can sign your documents and say, okay, I had this document at this point in time. It's all the awesomeness of a blockchain. Inovo, I'm interested in talking to. Yeah, the Salvation Army in the USA, they're obviously still not healed from open buckets. So yeah. So in conclusion, I want to say responsible disclosure is sometimes, at least, is very difficult. There are a lot of people who don't think they are responsible for answering or don't care or whatever. Data protection, responsible people in the government usually have very limited means of addressing the problem. But the GDPR is actually very interesting. It really helps. If I were putting, like, if I put someone of these responsible people into the CC of an email, didn't really do anything, but the GDPR really made companies move. And but we definitely need a change of process on the AWS side. Obviously, they're trying to make the service as cheap as possible, so they take my email and exclude my name, pass it on to the customer, and that case is closed for them, and that's at least my perception of the process. And I think AWS is trying to cut costs, to cut corners, and they're making their lives too easy. They have more responsibility if they know there is a real leak going on. And it's just not enough to send one email and be done with it. I really don't know what the processes look like on the internal side, but this is what I see. And I have tried to ask a few people what it really looks like on the inside. How does your process work? How do you deal with these kind of things? And the answer was, yeah, you know, this depends on the case, and we decide on a case-by-case basis. So one more thing with the mobile provider. I was sitting there and was trying to puzzle together who owns that bucket, and the data was actually quite sensitive, and I was a little desperate and was writing a mail to AWS, and AWS was actually doing something. The mails looked like, look, you already know me, this is the bucket, this is the file that I'm talking about. Please download that data, write these three, execute these three lines of Python, and read your own multi-factor MAS. And that actually helped. Next morning, this bucket was closed. But really, does it really have to affect AWS for them to react? That's just wrong. And it's an absolute necessity for them to work on their own shit. It's just not acceptable that way it is. And it should be more like, look, guys, if you're a customer, this, you have a week, here is your issue, fix it or we'll fix it. That would be the right way. But writing a mail to the client and passing on the issue and just waiting for them to react is just not enough. And there's one sentence from the hacker ethics that I want to quote. Use public data, protect private data. This is extremely important for the stuff we look at. So keep that in mind. Let this be your guiding star for how to work with these kind of data. And I now have an appeal to you. If you work in the cloud, obviously you know how it works for AWS, but it's the same for all the other cloud providers. So do what I did. Take the name of the bucket, use the tooling, just put the URL into your browser and check what's there. So if you can see something, then you already have a problem. I have written some tooling. If you use this QR code, it sends you to that link up there. It's a small Python script that puts the contents of that bucket into a tool called Qlot, and the content tag, it basically takes the log and pre-processes it in a way that it actually is readable for you, so makes the problem easier to see. So if you work in the IT sec, check your DNS query log and check for the S3 buckets in there and have a look in there if there's anything interesting that you're thinking about. Also think about the security TXT. Maybe add that just so someone can contact you. Just a hint, you know, so that it's that if you have a responsible disclosure that it doesn't end on some secretary's desk and it doesn't go anywhere. And if you're affected, actually annoy the cloud providers, you know. Obviously the more tickets they have, creates work for them. If you get the default answer, just open it up again and again. If you know someone like a data protection officer, yeah, just notify them, get them all involved, and think about your own OPSEC. Check your own IP address. Just be aware that it can be resolved back to you, and that if you don't have the logging on your bucket turned on, you can still ask AWS to provide that for you. They still log that. If you want to contact me, there's a Mastodon account. The QR code is the link to that. So write to me if you want. And now we're reaching the end and we have a Q&A.
Thank you so much, dear Kasper, for this really deep insight and the great risk for your own soul you took upon yourself. I think for this, please all, big round of applause. So I see people at the mics, but I'd like to briefly ask for questions out of cyberspace. Yeah, there are some. First, there was a comment that the link to the GitHub repo doesn't seem to work. Oh, I still have to do it publicly. Okay, yeah, I will do that. Second, there was a question. Was there a difference how Amazon dealt with open buckets in Europe as opposed to the rest of the world? That's a difficult question. Because I didn't divide these buckets in my statistics, which region they belong to geographically. I wasn't able to see that they acted differently, but I didn't explicitly check that either. But I looked at categories of especially delicate data based on GSGVO. And mentioned that when disclosing it to Amazon. Hi, I have a question. The 130 buckets, did you check whether Google search revealed them already being present in some web forums?
Ich würde das jetzt nicht auf die 130
projizieren. So I wouldn't project it on this 130. I'd like to project it onto the number of all the buckets I saw. If I'm able to find a bucket, then usually we find a text file in it. Hi, I'm a bug bounter from here and there. You got an open bucket, please contact me and pay me some money. So based on that, I think many other people do this too, what I did, and I'm certainly not the first one to do so. There's pages in the internet you can click through which show you different buckets which are open, and you can also check them out sometimes for paying a fee. So based on that, I'm certainly not the first one to do this kind of stuff. There's another question at the mic. Did you also look at other services next to AWS? So we only looked at AWS because it's so easy to check whether buckets exist using DNS. That makes it unique. That's the reason why we only looked at AWS. We didn't check out the other ones. That's somewhat more complicated technically.
Von der Datenautobahn.
Oh, there's more questions on the internet.
Hast du auch mal offene buckets gefunden, die mit Militär?
Were you able to find any open buckets related to military?
Wie waren die?
And if so, how were the reactions you got? So I can show you one thing here. You see the Department of Public Health Engineering in Bangladesh, which I would consider governmental. So yes. Regarding military, no, actually not. Maybe because military is more regulated and because they also have their own private regions in cloud services and the entire zone is protected by default. So there's a bit of added security when it comes to military data, and we didn't see any of these explicitly. Maybe we scrolled past through them, but we didn't actively saw any of these. There doesn't seem to be more people at the mics. But are there more people on the internet, maybe?
Also, fangen wir mal an.
Okay. Yes, there is another question.
Was war das häufigste naming scheme?
What was the most frequent naming scheme from these buckets? Oh, well, there's bucket finder tools, actually, that can give you lots of ideas, like adding prod or adding def. And if you do that, you'll find a lot. Didn't really check which scheme was the best one overall, but we could do that sometime. So there's more questions. So apparently there seems to be lots of indifference, but were there some people that really reacted actively? So offensively, nobody reacted. The Identity Mobile thing I submitted to CCC, which got lots of letters afterwards. So I was happy to do that via CCC, because that was, of course, quite of a delicate matter. So there was another online question, I think. Yeah, it's a legal question. Did you actually get any lawyer letters or anything? No, I did not. I talked with lawyers, actually. They told me what I am doing is completely in a region that's explicitly protected by law, even more so because I have an interest in doing research and protecting data. Of course, something I didn't mention yet, if you click an AWS bucket, by default, it's actually closed. You need to interact with a pretty disgusting UI, need to click through it to even make it open. You can also use scripts for that, but it's still quite a bit of work to actually open up a bucket in that way. Number four, please. Thank you for this talk. I just got a quick question. Did your research actually show whether Amazon, within this scope of shared responsibility, can actually be punished in some way because it's on their system? I'm actually trying to still find that out. So the shared responsibility framework, in my opinion, ends, in my opinion, at the moment when they know about it. And in my personal view, as provider, they should be responsible, at least from a moral point of view. From a legal point of view, not quite sure. No data protection expert was able to tell me how exactly I might be able to get them and prohibit them from escaping the responsibility. Last question, mic one, please. So you have 128 responsibility processes. How many of these are still open? We can take a look, actually. Didn't do the math quite entirely yet. And we take a look. Here's the slide. Let's just add them up. 128, 2 is open. 51, still open. Add 3-1 with the owner. 5, 15, 19, 25 have been closed out of those. That's not that much, actually.
Good. Done.
Thank you. May I show some more stories, please? No.